Let's go back and review verse 16 of Deuteronomy 16. This agrees exactly with Exodus 34 and with Exodus 23. 3 times in a year shall all your males appear before the Lord your God in a place which he shall choose to observe. In the Feast of Unleavened Bread, not the Passover, folks, not the Passover. Feast of Unleavened Bread, therefore, the first part of Exodus, Deuteronomy 16 should read the Feast of Unleavened Bread all the way through, just like we solved the problem, right? It didn't say in the Passover. But since the Jews later called the whole thing the Passover, therefore, it was very convenient to substitute the word Passover for Feast of Unleavened Bread in Deuteronomy 16 at the first part to make it look like a 15th Passover. But the thing that gives it dead away, 2 things. Number one, the requirement to sacrifice only at the place which God chose, which was never required. Number two, the month of Abib, always referring to the days of unleavened bread. And let's add a third one in there. You shall make your sacrifice of the flock and of the herd. Never, 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 never for the Passover, but absolutely okay for the days of unleavened bread. Isn't that interesting? And I think that I will find that that is the solution to it. Because when you have one part of the Bible which seems to contradict the rest of the Bible, then something happened. Because the Word of God does not contradict itself. Okay? All right? Now, let's finish here. In the Feast of Unleavened Bread, in the Feast of Weeks, in the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Okay? Let's go back to Exodus 12 again, because I want to emphasize this thing of a home. Okay? Of a home. Verse 43. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. Exodus 12, verse 43. Okay, Exodus 12, verse 43. This is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. But every man's servant that is bought for money when he has circumcised him, then he shall eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten, that is, of the family. And you shall not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house. Neither shall you break a bone thereof. And all the congregation of Israel shall keep it. Where? In their homes. Not at the temple. And when the stranger which sojourns with you will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all of his males be circumcised, then let him come near and keep it, for he is one that is born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is home-born, and to the stranger that sojourns with you. Thus did all the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. Okay, there we go. Now, any questions? Okay, the question is, how did it get into the Bible? I think the answer is very simple. They did it. The Jews did it. How well did they preserve the Bible? Well, you read some cases, they didn't even know where it was, and they dug into the temple and found it. We have to ask the question, then. There are a couple places in the Bible which show that they did indeed, by the command of the king, have the... We'll see that. We're too far into this to start Psalm 119 today. We'll do that next week, okay? So we need to complete this since our minds are on it. So I want to ask the question, does everybody understand this so far? Next question. Have the Jews always been faithful? No, 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 no. Can you depend on their history? No, 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 no. You cannot. the greatest event that ever happened, the coming of the Son of God, is not even mentioned in any of the things that they did, except in very derogatory terms. Okay? They blotted out from their history. Josephus blotted out from the history the fact that Jesus was there, except for one slight little mention. And the Apostle Paul said, this was not done in a corner. Everyone knew about it. Is it then conceivable to think that in one place in the Old Testament where they would like to justify a 15th Passover, that that could be inserted there with no problem? Yes. Yes. Maybe, perhaps not mischievously, because we'll look at a couple places where it says, in just a minute, where it says that the king ordered the priests and Levites to offer the sacrifices. But first, let's go to Numbers 33 and verse 3. Numbers 33 and verse 3. Okay. These are the journeys of the children of Israel, verse 1, which went forth out of the land of Egypt with their armies, showing it was a great host, under the hand of Moses and Aaron. And Moses wrote their goings out according to their journeys by the commandment of the Lord. These are the journeys according to their going out. They departed from Ramses in the first month. I mean, departed, that means they left. They were gone from. Okay? In the first month, on the 15th day of the first month, on the morrow after the Passover, that is the next day, after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with a high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians. For the Egyptians buried all their firstborn, which the Lord had smitten among them, and upon their gods also the Lord executed judgment. Okay, so what was happening? Let's get the sequence. We'll just summarize it this way. They selected the lamb or the kid on the 10th day of the first month. They kept it up to the 14th at the beginning of the day. After the day began, Bein Ha'arba'im, between the two evenings, they slayed the lamb. They took the lamb in, they took the blood, put it on the post of the house, took the lamb in, and they roasted it. They ate it. God passed over at midnight. They were instructed not to leave their houses until the morning. In the morning, they left their houses and they gathered to Ramses during the day part of the 14th. They started leaving, I would say, late in the afternoon, say 4 or 5 o'clock. They started leaving Ramses and they left then. They were gone by night on the day after the Passover. Okay? Now we've got everything in agreement. All of the scriptures in agreement. Okay, this is proof to you that the Passover is on the 14th, but some people argue this shows that the Passover was on the 15th. See? It doesn't. It says they left on the 15th, the day after. Let's see.
And you're counting Pentecost.
Okay. Now, let's look at a couple of other things here that we need to look at. Let's look at, first of all, let's look at traditions. Let's go to Mark, the 14th chapter. What if the Jews had tradition that they did sacrifice at the temple, and what if some of them did sacrifice at the temple? Did it make it right? There is one man who says we should follow what the Pharisees taught because they sat in Moses' seat. Let's go there first. Matthew 23. Okay? Matthew 23. Let's go there first. Let's answer the question, should we follow the tradition of the Pharisees? Because after all, Paul was a Pharisee, and the Pharisees controlled everything, and they are the ones who set down the law. Therefore, we should follow what the Pharisees say, because they sat in Moses' seat. Should we do that? Is that what we should do? Is that what Jesus said? See, we'll find out. He qualified it. Chapter 23 of the book of Matthew. Then spoke Jesus to the multitude and said to his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees. What about the scribes, my friends? Scribe could be also a Sadducee. A scribe could be a priest. A scribe was put before the Pharisees. Where is the word of the scribes? We don't have it. But just a point. The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe to do, but do you not after their works, for they say and do not. Question, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? Does that mean you do anything that they tell you to do? What if they tell you to do a traditional thing that is against the law of God? Should you do it because they sit in the seat of Moses? No. We'll see authority for that later. Okay? When was it that the Pharisees and the scribes spoke properly? When they read the scripture, when they were seated in the synagogue reading the scriptures, sitting in the seat of Moses. That's the only time you're to do what they did, and the only time they exercised the authority of Moses was when they were reading the scriptures. Any other authority they exercised was not in the seat of Moses and was not exercising the authority of Moses, but their own. Now, to prove a point, let's go back to Matthew 16 and verse 6. Let's go back to Matthew 16 and verse 6. The same writer, correct? All right? Recording something very important for us, right? Yes. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Just basic pause here. Pharisees were the ones who controlled the synagogue system, and the Sadducees were the ones who controlled the temple system. There were the two systems. Okay? Scribes could be either Sadducees or Pharisees, but in most cases, the scribes were the Sadducees. And they, the disciples, reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. And when Jesus perceived, he said to them, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves? Because you have brought no bread. Do you not understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it then you do not understand that I spoke it not to you concerning bread, but that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. What is their doctrine? Their teachings. What are their teachings? What do they teach by? Tradition. Okay, now let's go to Mark, the 7th chapter, and see what about traditions. Okay, see what about traditions and what God says when those teachings and those traditions do something to the commandment of God. Are we to follow them as if they sit in the seat of Moses? Answer, no. Okay. Verse 1, then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came down from Jerusalem, and again reiterating more probably the Sadducees. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands often, eat not, holding to the traditions of the elders, or the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold or to observe, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not your disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashen hands? And he said to them, well, as Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, as the washing of cups and pots, and many other such like things you do. And he said to them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. Enough said? Yes. Traditional proof is not biblical proof. Please understand that. Whenever you read any writings concerning the Passover, or a traditional thing, or a tradition for counting Pentecost, if it is not agreeing with the Word of God, it is tradition. See, now we have sort of somewhat a schizophrenic thinking within many of the churches of God, and that is Catholic tradition is wrong, Buddha tradition is wrong, Protestant tradition is wrong, which it is wrong. Oh, but Jewish tradition, we ought to look at that and accept, you know, what the Jewish traditionally taught. That's fine. No, all tradition of all men are wrong. So anyone who brings any proof as to the tradition of the Jews, if it does not agree with the Word of God, you must not accept it for doctrine or teaching. Otherwise, you're accepting what? The leaven, or the sin, of the teaching of the scribes and the Pharisees. Is it sin to follow tradition and reject the Word of God? Yes, absolutely it is. With anybody. Okay. All right, now, let's go to the Old Testament and look at a couple of places where the priests did sacrifice and the Levites did sacrifice for the people. 2 Chronicles 30, we have a case where the priest did sacrifice for the people. And where, in order to rally the nation of Judah, including some still of the remnants of Ephraim and Manasseh and so forth, that they did sacrifice for the people, okay? But not all of them. Let's consider this very carefully here, okay? So chapter 30, the first part of it, he sends out a letter saying we ought to keep the Passover. I'll just summarize it. However, it was too late to keep it in the first month, so they decided, according to Numbers 9, to keep it in the second month. Now, you can do that, okay? God gives allowance for it, okay? Now, verse 13. And there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread in the second month, a very great congregation. And they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, all the altars of incense they took away, and they cast them over the brook Kidron. Now notice the people. Then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month. So they did it on the 14th, not the 15th. Whatever they did on the 14th, correct? That's what it says. And the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves, and brought into burnt offerings into the house of the Lord. Burnt offerings referring to what? The Feast of Unleavened Bread, yes, right? We read that, correct. And they stood in their place after their manner, according to the law of Moses, the man of God. And the priest sprinkled the blood which they received of the hands received of the hand of the Levites. For there were many in the congregation which were not sanctified. Therefore the Levites had the charge of the killing of the Passovers, for everyone that was not clean, said many were not clean. But there were also many who were clean. They did not kill the Passover for those who were clean. Where was that done? That was done at whatever household they kept the Passover. Okay? It said, for not were all clean to sanctify themselves to the Lord. For a multitude of people, even many of Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves. Yet they did eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, the good Lord pardon every one that prepares his heart to seek the God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he is not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord hearkened unto Hezekiah and healed the people. And the children of Israel were present at Jerusalem, kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. Hezekiah spoke comfortably unto all the Levites that taught good knowledge of the Lord, and they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession to the Lord God of their fathers. And the whole assembly kept counsel to keep another 7 days, and they kept another 7 days with great gladness. And Hezekiah the king of Judah gave to the congregation 1,000 bullocks, 7,000 sheep, and the princes gave the congregation 1,000 bullocks, 10,000 sheep, and a great number of priests sanctified themselves, and all the congregation of Judah, and all the Levites, and all the congregation that were come out of Israel, and strangers come out of the land of Israel, and that dwelt in Judah rejoiced. And there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not such the like in Jerusalem. Now, let's go to the next one. Let's find it, 2 Chronicles 30, let's pick up the right one here, 35. 2 Chronicles 35, and this is in the days of Josiah. Verse 1, moreover, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And he set the priests in their charges and encouraged them in the service of the house of the Lord. And he said to the Levites that taught all Israel, which were holy to the Lord, put the ark in the house of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, which did build. And so forth, prepare yourselves and so forth, stand in your holy place, verse 5. Verse 6, so kill the Passover and sanctify yourselves and prepare your brethren that they may do according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And Josiah gave to the people of the flocks, lambs, and kids, all for the Passover offering. So the people did it, in that case. All that were present, to the number of 35,000 and 3,000 bullocks, which were the king's substance, and the princes gave willingly unto the people, to the priests, to the Levites, Hilkiah, Zechariah, Jehuel, rulers of the house of God, gave unto the priest for the Passover offerings 2,600, it says small cattle here, but that's in italics. Obviously, it had to be of the flocks and the herd, the lambs. And here we have absolute biblical proof. Let's go back to verse 7, just in thinking here, that the flock means lambs and kids. Okay? Herd means of the bullocks and things. Okay. Back down here, he offered... Yes, he gave to the priest for the Passover offerings 2,600. We know that had to be of the lambs and kids, not of small cattle. That is inserted. Does your Bible have that in italics? If it has it in italics, then that was inserted by the English translators. Okay. And Coaniah also, and Shemaniah, and Nathaniel, his brethren, and Hashabiah, and Jeiel, and Jozabad, chief of the Levites, gave unto the Levites the Passover offerings, 5,000, again, small cattle should not be there, and 500 oxen, and which had to be, in this case, had to be for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But they gave it to them before the Passover. Okay? So the service was prepared, the priests stood in their place, and the Levites in their courses according to the king's commandment, and they killed the Passover, and the priests sprinkled the blood from their hands, the Levites flayed them, and they removed the burnt offerings that they might give according to the divisions of the families of the people and offer unto the Lord as it was written in the book of Moses. So they did. They roasted the Passover with fire according to the ordinance, and the other holy things they sawed, the other holy offerings they sawed in the pots and the cauldrons and pans and divided it speedily among the people. Afterwards they made themselves ready for the priest because the priests, the sons of Aaron, were busied in the offering of the burnt offerings and fat until night. So here they were offering other sacrifices beside the Passover, apparently, is what they were doing here. Many others. Okay. So this may be one of the very first times when the Levites and priests were sacrificing the Passover for the people. Or you can also have a situation here that here is where maybe an instance of the beginning of shifting over of those on to the 15th. Possible. I don't know. Any thoughts? Good comment. The comment was made that the bullocks probably were not the Passover offerings, but were those bullocks used for the cleansing and sanctifying of the priests, which was required to do. Yes, that's correct. Yes, you go back to Leviticus 16 and see how the priest was to sanctify himself for the Day of Atonement. There was to be a bullocks offered along with rams and so forth. So that's probably correct. Yes, that's correct. They were offering those to cleanse the priesthood as they would come on down the line. Yes, very good comment. Excellent. So they were not offering the oxen as a Passover sacrifice here, but they were offering them in cleansing of the priesthood. Very good. So there were two things going on at the same time here. But this is where then you could look back and say, oh, in this emergency condition they did it, so therefore now we're going to do it that way all the time. See, God does not expect you to take an exceptional emergency situation and make it the rule. What if every year came along for the Passover in the first month and said, oh, well, I don't have time for it in the first month. I'm going to do it in the second month because God allows it. No way. No way. No way. God allows the second Passover in case of uncleanness or sickness. That's correct. That's correct. Well, like today, if you're going in your car and the car broke down on the way to the Passover, then you'd take the Passover in the second month. But you can't every year make your car break down so you can take it in the second month and not keep it in the first month, you see. And I think this is possibly where the tradition got started. Okay? Now, if you're going to kill a lot of Passover lambs for a lot of people, can you do it at night when it's dark? No, because you couldn't do it between that small space of window from sunset until dark, could you? No, you couldn't kill thousands of lambs at that time. So that's where they said, well, what we'll do it over in the daytime. Still on the 14th, but at the end of the day. Now you see how easy that got started. They made the exception the rule. Then in order to justify it, the Pharisees did exactly what they always do. They go back and figure out a way to explain it. So a couple of the explanations have been between the two evenings means any time from one sunset clear to the other sunset. That's one explanation. Another explanation is the evening starts as the sun starts coming down, and I'll read some of those a little later, as the sun starts coming down from its zenith. Then it's the evening. Any time between it starting to come down and sunset is between the two evenings. The first evening begins when the sun starts going down. nonsense. It's broad daylight at 12:10. I mean, come on. See? So therefore, once they accept that, now you have the Passover being killed in the afternoon on the 14th, and they would eat it on the 15th. Combine it together. So now we've got to justify this. So our ready scribes went back, and I suspect, I do not have absolute dogmatic proof, so I cannot give this as absolute dogmatic proof, but I won't believe anything else until I see something to the contrary, that they went back and they changed unleavened bread to Passover, because at that time they called the whole thing Passover. So they could justifiably do it without a conscience of great pangs that they altered the Word of God. They were just updating it for a later clarification. But notice they did not touch the original writings of Moses in Exodus. Yes, let's go to Mark 14 for just a minute. So I was really prepared to do Psalm 119, but you can tell what my mind was on. Okay. But I know when I first came into the Church of God, I had the toughest time trying to figure out the evening. You know, and I was sitting there reading this, and my eyes would go cross-eyed. Really would, didn't you? No, I did. Okay. Mark 14 and verse 12. And, of course, the New Testament in these places in the English followed the Pharisaical tradition. So in 1611, when this was translated from the Greek into the English, they followed the Pharisaical teaching. And so this added confusion, unfortunately. Verse 12 says, and the first day of unleavened bread. Now the Greek reads, and the first day of the unleavens, which you may have in your margin because we've covered that several times. But it is not the first day of the feast of unleavened bread. If it were, what problem would you have? What would be the major problem that you would have? Number one, it's on the wrong day. Okay. Number two, that would mean, as we'll see later in John 18 and verse 28, the Pharisees who ate the Passover the day after Jesus would be eating the Passover on the second day of unleavened bread, which would be a problem too difficult to ever explain. See, so this means, and on the first of the unleavens, referring to the event when they put leaven out of their homes at the beginning of the year for the Passover. Now, the next phrase, when they killed the Passover. You don't pick it up in the English. You must pick it up in the Greek. The Greek word for killed here means to kill in sacrifice, and it comes from the Greek word theo. This particular tense of the verb is pronounced ethuon, which means they, that is third person plural, they, and it is active, indicative, incomplete. It means when they were killing, or on the first of the unleavens when they, that is generic, they, not the priests, were killing, ongoing, were killing the Passover, his disciples said to him, now picture this, here's Jesus and the disciples walking into Jerusalem. What are they seeing? What are they seeing? What was going on? If it's actively going on, they saw people, yes, they saw people killing the lamb. Now, If you're the disciples and you see people killing the lamb, what is the first question you're going to ask the Lord? Because you're going to keep the Passover. What's the first obvious question? Where are we going to keep the Passover, Lord? Right? Yes. Okay? Now, it's very interesting. They is what you would call a generic they, not referring to priests, because they were not anywhere near the temple, so they could not see the priest doing that. And it was something that was actively going on. You look over here, and there's someone, you know, killing a lamb for the Passover. You know, the sun is just over the horizon, and it's getting dark. So the disciples say, where do you will or do you desire that we go and prepare that you may eat the Passover? And he sent forth two disciples and said to them, go you to the city, and there you will meet a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, you shall say to the good man of the house, again, following what it was, a house. That was the command originally, right? The master says, where is the guest room that I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. So his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he said to them, and they made ready the Passover. What does it mean to make ready the Passover? To make ready the Passover could involve killing the lamb. Yes, it could. Sure, it could. Because they were only a few minutes down the road. They walked in there. And also the man carrying a pitcher, could that be the water that Jesus washed the feet of the disciples with? Very possibly. Okay? Because apparently, whatever communication that Jesus had with God and the angels, he knew that something was going on with this man, and so he said, follow this one. Okay? Now, it could be that they had to go in and kill the lamb. Now, a little lamb to kill doesn't take very long at all. Now, it could be that the lamb had already just been killed by whom? The head of the household there, and he had several guest chambers where people would come and eat the Passover, so he would have it already killed for them. So they could hustle in real quickly, hurry in, and start the Passover. So they made ready the Passover. What else would you do with the Passover? Well, you've got to roast it. And imagine in each one of these rooms there was a fireplace type of oven where you could roast it. And there they made ready the Passover. Okay? Now let's go to Luke's account, Luke 22. Now, Bill Dankenbrink makes the statement that the Old Testament Passover had to be on the 15th, and the New Testament Passover was one that Jesus specially instituted. How could it be when they saw people already killing the Passover? Was the Passover eaten on 2 days? Yes, it was. We'll go here to Luke 22, and then we will go to John 18. Let's pick this up again here. Verse 7. Then came a day of unleavens, as it should read, when the Passover must. Interesting statement, isn't it? Interesting statement, must. That means ordained, obligatory, mandatory, commanded. When the Passover must be killed. So we're being told a message here, right? This is the proper day. When Jesus did it and the lambs were killed on that day. And he sent Peter and John saying, go prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And when they said to him, where will you that we prepare? He said to them, behold, enter into the city. You'll meet a man there carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he enters in. You shall say to the good man of the house, the master says unto you, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? Nothing special about it, an ordinary Passover as far as the disciples were concerned. A little rushed for time because they were going into town. Comment was made that if this were truly the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, then Jesus was not killed on the Passover day by any stretch of the imagination. Okay, good comment. So he would have to be called Jesus our unleavened bread. But unleavened bread follows the acceptance of the sacrifice, you see. You must have the sacrifice first. Yes, Jesus is the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, but he is the Passover, and you must have the Passover before the first day of unleavened bread. Excellent. Good comment. Appreciate that. Now, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples. And he shall show you a large room furnished there, make ready. And they went and found as he had said to them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. So Dankenbrink says that this means this Passover was a special one, going back to the 14th instead of on the 15th. No indication at all anywhere of that. Jesus, when he said this Passover, he meant this specific Passover because it was his last one until he comes again with the kingdom of God. For I say unto you, I will no more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Okay? Now, let's go to John 18. John 18. And I'm going to have to draw up a couple of charts to show all this and redo the booklet. I guess that'll be my first major project, but I tell you, it's got to be answered once for all on the whole thing, you know. Once for all, we ought to have it all in one place and cover everything in one place, don't you think? Okay, John 18 and verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas. Now, remember, let's just summarize here. Jesus ate the Passover, went out after the Passover with his disciples, prayed, was arrested about midnight, was led away to Ananias, then Caiaphas, back to Ananias, over then to Caiaphas, and Caiaphas then what? He sends him on over to the judgment hall, and it was early. Verse 28. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. So what is the conclusion we can come to? During the days of Jesus, there were 2 days of eating the Passover which were commonly accepted, the 14th and the 15th. Which one did Jesus keep? The 14th. That was according to the commands of God. Which one did the Pharisees keep? The 15th according to tradition. So therefore, Deuteronomy 16 had to be slightly modified to make it appear that the Passover was indeed on the 15th. Now, one other thing that is said, and you will read in a book by Garner Ted Armstrong, which was written mostly by Robert Kuhn, by the way, this particular portion was, how that when the priest took the lamb up to the altar and slit its throat was when Jesus died. And the temple was rent in two. And what a great and marvelous symbolism this is. God used the whole thing, the proper Passover, and then the symbolism of when Jesus died was a rejection of their Passover, a rejection of their way, not great symbolism of fulfillment. One other thing we need to cover, and that is Luke 22 and verse 1, which reads, "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called the Passover." So whenever they came to call the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread, generally as the Passover, therefore it would give them easy conscience to go ahead and change it in Deuteronomy 16 to Passover from unleavened bread.